You know what, Ari Shapiro? There's been a lot of talk lately about the expiring contract of Lou Lamoriello and the possibility of young whippersnapper Kyle Dubas stepping in. You know, the situation is Lou Lamoriello will no longer be, potentially, general manager of the Toronto Maple Leafs, and Dubas will step in to take over the duties. And I've you know, kind of thought about this. I'm wondering how Lou is taking this, considering he is a legendary general manager executive in the NHL, not only, of course, with the Leafs, but with the many years that he spent in New Jersey. I wonder how he's taking it with a young Kyle Dubas potentially coming in and taking over his job.
Yeah, well, you know, I may not be a spring chicken myself, but I still have what it takes to go an extra round or two, if you know what I'm saying. You know, if you know what I'm saying.
And guess what, Ari? Yeah, we've got exclusive audio footage of the very awkward chance encounter between Lou Lamoriello and Kyle Dubas in the executive bathroom suites in the Air Canada Center. Mr. Lamoriello, good morning, sir. How are you?
Dubas, good day.
Did you have a good weekend, sir?
Yes, your hair is looking a little long there. And is that a 5 o'clock shadow I see?
Well, with all due respect, sir, it is 10 a.m.
Mm-hmm.
Big win by our boys, eh, on the weekend? Or those Habs? Big, eh?
It was. It was one of our bigger wins. Our men played well.
yeah. Mr. Lamoriello, I just wanted to...
Wanted to what?
Mr. Lamoriello, listen, I'm sure you've heard the rumors about me possibly taking over as the general manager of the team.
I do not address rumors. I'm not bothered. I am not bothered.
Well, that's good. Listen, I've been working on this proposal, and our capologist and myself have come up with a way that we can sign Austin Matthews, Willie Nylander, and Mitchie Marner to max year deals at max money, and will still be $50 million under the cap.
You know what, Dubas? I have Stanley Cup rings that are older than you
okay.
are.
Okay. Just another topic. There's this young kid in Slovakia. We've been looking at him. He'd be a real steal at this year's draft. A real sleeper pick. Nobody knows about him.
You know what Slovakia is, Dubas? It's the country beside the country where I found Peter Sikora, the great Peter Sikora. Peter helped me win one of those Stanley Cup rings that is older than you are.
Okay, just one more quick little thing. I had a quick talk with JVR's agent, and guess what? His agent said JVR is open to taking a hometown discount.
Agent? You know what? Back in the 60s, there were no agents. We paid our players with turkeys and winter coats. Their agents got tickets to the circus.
Okay, I'm gonna go now. I've got a conference call in a few minutes. I guess I'll see you at lunch, Lou.
Lunch? You know, lunch is like the regular season before the playoffs. It means nothing. Dinner is where it counts.
Well, this was one awkward urinal conversation.
This is a urinal?
Washington Capitals forward Alexander Ovechkin scored his 600th career goal last week, becoming the fourth fastest player in NHL history to reach the milestone. He was not, however, named one of the NHL Three Stars of the Week. In other news coming out of NHL offices, they are awaiting the next time Brad Marchand potentially kills another opponent so that they can yet again give him one of their Three Stars of the Week.
You know, it's funny, the saddest part about Brad Marchand becoming the king of NHL weasels is that he's actually managed to become a pretty legit 40-goal scorer. I mean, look, there's no arguing the fact that the guy's got talent, and that when he plays, when he's focused and inspired and understands what he's doing in his role that he's got to fulfill for his team, he's actually an incredibly elite two-way player. But unfortunately, he's got that weasel gene. You know, that one that keeps sticking in his craw and keep telling him, I've got to do bad things to my fraternity brothers. I mean, it's not like he's in a union with these players and probably has dinner with some of them. Instead, he's treating them like he's Conan the Barbarian in the gladiatorial arena. Just a king weasel, weasel king that he is.
Jeff Molson has made it public that he completely supports Mark Bergevin and believes that Bergevin can help turn the team around. He also believes that Hillary Clinton should make another run for president. He believes that whoever is running against Putin has a very fair chance. He believes a physical keyboard on a mobile phone is still a thing. And he also believes that Jonathan Drouin can still play center.
You know, Toronto Maple Leafs fans, sometimes you sow what you reap, and you reap what you sow. And in the case of Patrick Marleau, now we are finally starting to see what happens when important cap-related resources that were dedicated to signing a 38-year-old winger in the twilight of his career comes back to haunt you once James Van Riemsdyk hits free agency. And of course, we all know what I'm talking about, a perennial 30-goal scorer who might be a little bit soft, but is absolutely money in the bank for a player that, for all intents and purposes, has become an empty net goal specialist this year.
Montreal Canadiens set a single-season franchise record for road regulation losses. They sit at 9-23-4. They also happen to be dead last in goals for and goals against on the road. But in better news, Al Montoya played his seventh game for the Edmonton Oilers, which now means the Montreal Canadiens get a fourth round pick instead of a fifth round pick. Good times. Yeah.
You know, Habs fan, one of my followers on Twitter asked me if I could best summarize how I felt after Kasperi Kapanen scored his halfway through the neutral zone breakaway goal last Saturday night. So here it is.
I looked at you from a far distance. You seemed so sexy and sweet with your stick-handling, deking ways inside and out the blue line, showing me what life means when you went ahead and finished the way you do. Oh, Kasperi Kapanen, you are something else.
In the actually-it-was-a-genius-move department, the New York Islanders moved John Tavares to the wing. Now, what many people thought was alienating their future coveted unrestricted free agent turned out to be a genius move because Tavares got three assists, unfortunately, in an Islanders loss, but also teams have dropped out of the Tavares race, specifically the Montreal Canadiens, because as Bergevin said, they need centers and not wingers, and John Tavares is clearly a winger.
Yevgeny Malkin of the Pittsburgh Penguins scored his 40th goal earlier this week, further cementing his mantle as the most underappreciated National Hockey League player perhaps ever. I mean, honestly, what does this guy have to do to get some respect? Should he just start swearing all sorts of, like, Russian expletives everywhere? Because I can do them fairly well. Here's what I think, my reimagination of what Yevgeny Malkin should say.
Ну, боже мой! Сволочи, дегенераты, как можно так жить? Я ничего не понимаю. Что с вами случилось? Дегенераты, ничего не понимаю. Ёб твою, такие...
You know, I would translate that, but honestly, you don't want me to.
Ari, isn't it funny that as we wind down the NHL season, you are about to crescendo to the playoffs while I descend at the end of the regular season?
Descending to the end of the regular season. I love how that sounds. I've also been waiting to crescendo, as you've just mentioned, for many years.
Yes.
This team is on pace, I believe, for 106 or 108 points. How do you feel about that?
I'm surprised that whenever I hear that number, that will be the franchise record. Because there have been tons of teams who have reached 110 points, 107 points. And for a 100-year-old franchise to never reach more than 105, and I think they just reached like 100 points for the first time ever, like in the past 20 years. That was it's a stunning number to me. But again,
man, you just took my nice
nice frosty cupcake and turned into like a stupid muffin. Like, can I get a little bit of enjoyment out of the fact, like you said, that this team has been, I agree, it's been around for a long time. This is actually a little embarrassing to admit that this might be a record year.
Yeah, considering, you know, the loser point, and you still have a tough time cracking 100 points, that's ridiculous.
But, you know, even you have to admit that this was the first year since we've had the loser point that the Maple Leafs have found a way to take advantage of it. This team now actually wins in overtime and wins in shootouts, something that they never did under your most fabled era, the Peter Horacek era.
Ah, those were the days, Peter Horacek. Peter Horacek.
Randy Carlyle, Ron Wilson.
Yeah.
Paul Maurice. Good for you, Paul Maurice, for coming back in your career with
Winnipeg. How many of those coaches, though, were Stanley Cup winners and or Stanley Cup finalist coaches? They weren't bad coaches.
So really, would you say then that we've learned nothing by getting Babcock? Because Babcock's a former Stanley Cup winner. I agree with you. There's no guarantee that when a coach wins it earlier in their career that they can repeat the magic. But you hope that they've learned something in the way that they teach their players. And for some reason, nobody could be taught in Toronto. It didn't matter. I agree with you. Those were good coaches. Before he was humiliated, Ron Wilson and Randy Carlyle were considered, when they arrived in Toronto, really good Stanley Cup winning coaches, right? Mm-hmm. But when they left, everyone's like, look at these losers.
Yeah. Stupid. And then Randy Carlyle, he's had success again going back to Anaheim. So it's actually good to see that.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, Mr. Toaster, Randy Carlyle, still is relevant in the NHL, because for a little while there was a lot of talk that he would never get an NHL job again. Well, and that's never good to hear. You don't like to hear stuff like that.
You better be careful, because you keep talking like this and you'll get Alain Vigneault very soon for the next coaching reclamation project when Claude Julien ends up struggling next year.
Yeah, it could be Alain Vigneault as the Montreal Recycle bilingual coaches continues. But hopefully by then, they'll get off that mandate fulfilling certain requirements within the province. You know what I mean.
I know what you mean. There's really only one mandate right now that needs to be fulfilled in La Belle Province. And that is your team tanking. Your team doing everything they can to stop picking up these points, stop starting Carey Price, stop allowing yourself the opportunity to not get Rasmus Dahlin. It should be only about him right now. I don't understand what your organization is doing. A lot of good press conference, though. Great suits.
Yeah. It makes complete and utter nonsense that Carey Price is back, and I do talk about it later on in the show. But again, if the idea is to placate the fans in the final 9 games of the season to see Carey Price play, or would the fans rather have a better chance of getting Rasmus Dahlin? It just doesn't make sense. And then there's people who say, well, Antoniemi has better stats than Carey Price this year. Really? Are you really going down that angle? Because I'm pretty sure 110% of the hockey community will still say Carey Price is better than Antoniemi, which is, it's an absolute no-brainer. I'm not concerned about the concussions. I just don't want him to play this year because I'm all in for the tank.
You better be. You know how franchise changing that number one overall pick is.
But,
and I'm not talking about Austin Matthews anymore. I'm talking about Patrick Laine. So good. My God. Look at me. I'm the best.
He is the best. And I'm happy because it's good to see. It's good to see Winnipeg getting some love. A lot of people are going to be following them in the playoffs. But it's like, for tonight's game for you guys, this is a big game. This is a big measuring stick because Boston is close to catching Tampa Bay. And this could go a long way determining who you face in the first round and how you fare against a first-round opponent like Tampa Bay.
Look, it comes down to this. Regardless of where they finish and who they end up playing, they have to show the league that they're a serious Stanley Cup contender, or want to be one at least, because they're not right now. We know that. This is a great playoff team. This is a team, I think you'll agree, that could probably win a couple of rounds. But if they want to show teams that they're serious about beating the NHL's best, why do you think you play the regular season, right? You have to study these games, even though you and I both know the irony is you can play someone very well during the regular season and get swept just because you caught them at the wrong time. So, I don't know. What do you think? I think this team is good enough to beat very good Atlantic teams like Tampa Bay and Boston. But are they good enough to beat the best of the West? Probably not.
I don't know. I think the Boston matchup is the more favorable matchup, as I just think that although Boston's a quick team, but the Leafs can take advantage of the big Zdeno Chars of the world with their speed. And Tampa and Toronto will be a very... It wouldn't be as physical, I think. So I think... I just think Boston's is the opponent that Toronto should be.
It's a better matchup. Yeah. It definitely is. There's no question in my mind it's the better matchup. It creates the better one-on-one battles because of certain personalities and characters that team has. You know, with the Lightning, it feels differently because I do want Stamkos to do well. And I don't mind watching Victor Hedman in action because he's just an awesome, awesome specimen of a defenseman. But with Boston, it's just, I don't like their players, starting with the King Weasel himself, Brad Marchand. And then you just look at some of these other players that they have their, quote, status of excellence or state of excellence, like Patrice Bergeron and Zdeno Chara. Enough's enough. You guys are going down.
It's funny.
Seriously.
It's funny, though, that you just said that you would like to see Stamkos win, where a lot of our listeners and followers kind of felt the opposite.
The opposite, yeah.
Because we put out a poll, and who of these non-Stanley Cup winners would you like to see win a Stanley Cup? Ovechkin, Stamkos, Joe Thornton, and Patrick Marleau. And
so two observations right off the bat, if I may interrupt you. One, it was totally silly of us, of course. It was silly of us to put in Marleau because we knew that obviously a Toronto-centric poll would result in him winning. But I regret putting Stamkos when really I should have put in P.K. Subban. I think if P.K. Subban's on that list, he probably could have taken away a good percentage from everyone else.
Yeah, I think so too.
Because he's P.K.
I think so too. I think that it would be because he's P.K. and then also because of the anti-Montreal sentiment, you know, kind of sticking it to Montreal. And then also the Montreal fans who are still P.K. fans voting for P.K. So yeah, it definitely would have been a lot more, there would have been a lot more votes for P.K. than a Stamkos. I don't think because people have felt Stamkos has struggled so far in his relatively young career, nor has he had really huge playoff failures like the Thorntons of the world or the Ovechkins of the world or the Marleaus of the world, because his failures were tied in with Joe Thornton, of course.
Well, this banter has been so brutally amazing that I feel the only way to end it is for me to bring up Josh Donaldson.
Oh God, why?
Boy, if you're the Toronto Maple Leafs, you really can't win when it comes to your first-round NHL playoff matchup this year. It's absolutely gruesome. Like, let's call a spade a spade. Whether or not the Maple Leafs end up with the Boston Bruins or the Tampa Bay Lightning, this will be a seemingly insurmountable hurdle, a mountain for them to climb, because you're really talking about getting the best offensive or one of the best defensive teams in the league. And I guess at that point, you can start maybe internalizing to yourself, what's the better poison? Which one should I pick? Is it trying to battle Tuukka Rask in that stingy defense spearheaded by the ageless Zdeno Chara and led by Patrice Bergeron and Brad Marchand and David Krejci and company? Or are they going to turn their attention to the what will likely be Norris Cup winning Victor Hedman, the mercurial Steven Stamkos, and of course all that talent they have with Kucherov? It's really, really scary stuff. And Vasilevskiy is no slouch either. So really, if it comes down to having to choose between the two, my money's on the team that will give me a chance to use my strengths and my advantage as a speedy team to take advantage of transitional rushes. And that's why I think the Lightning will not only be the better option for the Maple Leafs in the playoffs, but one that will reap the best fruit for them to pick off the ground, like low-hanging fruit, because that's what you pick that's closer and easier to you, because the stuff higher above is harder to get. And that is basically my attempt at a Tuukka Rask metaphor.
Fact. Losing increases the Montreal Canadiens' chances of getting a higher draft pick, a potential generational player, or even a player that will step in and make a difference. Fact, Carey Price, despite this year's statistics, is a better goalie than Antti Niemi. Well, folks, Carey Price is back 100% healthy. Claude Julien said so. He's healthy, so he should play. Let's see. There's NHL insiders saying that Carey Price should play because he's healthy. And I'm glad Carey Price is healthy. But why should he play in 10 meaningless games when you have the potential to do nothing, lose more, and get a generational talent that will affect your team greatly for the next 10 years? What does 10 meaningless games have to do with the next 10 years? Think about it, guys. I mean, there are fans out there, and there's an argument out there that's saying, you know what? Fans paid good money, so they should be privileged, and they deserve to see the best players playing. Are you kidding me? There's 3 weeks left in the season. Who cares if you see or don't see Carey Price in the last 10 games of the season? Wouldn't you want the Montreal Canadiens to have the best possible chance of drafting a generational talent that will affect your team greatly for the next 10 years? It's so short-sighted. I just don't get it. The Montreal Canadiens are doing themselves a disservice by playing Carey Price. You know, it's great that he's healthy. I'm all for him being healthy, and in fact, I'm all for him playing in next month's World Championships. It has nothing to do with him being healthy or not healthy. It has everything to do with Montreal tanking. I'm sorry. That's what it's about. Until the NHL changes the rules, tanking is going to be an issue, and you have to take advantage of it because this guy, or whoever else you draft, is going to change your team for the better. Nothing is going to change your team for the better in the next 10 games than losing more.